I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. The needle tears a hole, the old familiar sting. Try to kill it all away, but I remember everything. What have I become? My sweetest friend, everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have it all, my empire of dirt. I will let you down, I will make you hurt.
Public Broadcasting Network. This is Talk with John, and Saturdays from 3 to 5 Mountain Time, 4 to 6 Central, and 5 to 7 Eastern, you can join me here. Now, I will be introducing you to my guest here in just a moment, but first things first, let's get this hour off to a proper start. Today is Saturday, February 12th, 2022. I got it right that time. And I want to start off the show with my show prayer. And the show prayer, it's the prayer of my heart. No, you don't need to bow your head, close your eyes, but it is, like I said, it's the prayer of my heart. It's what I think about and what moves me and what is the foundation of the show that I'm trying to do. So no need to bow your head. Like I said, bow your head, close your eyes. I hope my show is a gift back to my forefathers, the founding fathers, and may it be an acceptable token to our Father above, as well as John Stadtmiller, the founder of Republic Broadcasting. He's up there. He's with his big brother right now. And then the show mantra. Where there is liberty, there is the Spirit of Christ. Where the Spirit of Christ is, there will be liberty. And the greater the Spirit of Christ, the greater liberty will be. 2 Corinthians and Article 7 of the Constitution is kind of where I get the premise from that. So last hour, I want to say thank you to the guest that I had join me, Blake. He was great guest running for Georgia House District 6. Hopefully hopefully that seat is taken away from the Democrats and is given it to by somebody of conservative values. And speaking of conservative values, I now have joining me Michael Letts. Now, normally I have Michael join me about once a month, but I think that this is a really important subject. It's something that has just recently come out. In fact, when we last spoke, when I had you on, I believe it was just 2 weeks ago on these airwaves, I asked you, I said, now I heard that there was some people beat up and stomped on the protesters. You know, all we hear is that numerous police officers were injured. I mean, I've heard the numbers by the mainstream media, hundreds of people have been injured, were over 100 police officers were injured on January 6th. I don't know that to be true, but they don't talk about all the injuries as far as those of the protesters. Now, they don't want to mention Ashley Babbitt. Sometimes they will mention that somebody was shot and killed on January 6th, but they said numerous police officers died because of January 6th, and nothing unprofessionally happened by the Capitol Police. Okay, so we have a completely new information The January 6, 2021 police beating of an unconscious Trump supporter was just deemed objectively reasonable. What in the world does that mean? Michael?
Well, what it is it's a cover.
Oh, wait a minute. Mike, I didn't introduce you. This is Michael Letts joining me. He is the CEO and founder of InvestUSA, investusa.org. They provide training and active shooter vests to different police organizations. I'm sorry I didn't do that proper introduction with you. But, Michael, what are your thoughts, and what have you learned?
Well, it's very obvious, John, when there's quite a few red flags that come up in this particular situation. First of all, they buried it. They did not release any of this video, any of this footage, until just a few days ago. And they released it by accident. It was actually not supposed to be released. And here's what it clearly shows. It shows Roseanne Boylan, a middle-aged white woman, who, when they were, of course, they put gas in the West Tunnel to get people out. And when they began to exit, there was a crowd of Mexicans. Somehow she fell, and there was probably, you know, a little bit of confusion, a little trampling, etc. But here's what's so abhorring when you look at the video. She is laying on the ground. It's obvious she is unconscious. She's not moving. Her eyes are closed. She's out. And a black metropolitan female officer picks up a rod. We're not sure at this stage. We're still analyzing whether it was a steel rod or a wooden rod, and begins to beat her on the head. And then it was investigated very quickly internally, which, remember, you don't, when you have an officer involved shooting, an officer involved death, it always requires an outside agency. And their internal affairs deemed it to be acceptable, or obviously, you know, acceptable behavior. There's absolutely no justification, John, for beating any person who is unconscious and is not posing a threat. Now, remember, they had already gone through metal detectors, so it's not like you could be assumed that the person perhaps was armed. It had already been checked for arms. There was no immediate threat. This is worse than the George Floyd issue. And you saw the reaction that happened across the country with George Floyd. Now, understand, here's what's ironic about it. You had a white officer on a black suspect. This time you have a black officer on a white suspect, both female. And the fact that it was never mentioned, the fact that it was tried to be covered up and buried, looks to be the same type scenario, same type motives, the same type situation as it was with Ashley Babbitt. It shows there is a vast cover-up going on, worse than Watergate, and this has got to be exposed.
Had a white man shot a black woman? Okay, let's bring up that exact scenario. Let's say that a black woman is attacking another black female, or about to attack another black female with a knife, has cranked back the arm and about to thrust forward, and a white man shoots that black female.
Correct.
Do you think that the you'd think from the way this was handled that he'd probably get a standing ovation, the mainstream media would tell him, give him pats on the back, major kudos, and the city would give him like the key to the city? Oh, wait a minute. That's not what happened.
No. There was an immediate reaction that it was a racist situation until they looked at the video and saw that that young girl was itching to kill and murder somebody else, and the only thing that stopped him was that officer. And then they had to back down, and instead of apologizing or agreeing with the actions of the officer, they merely just let it go.
And on top of that, that police officer had told her to put the knife down several times.
Correct.
Now, the police officer, I don't think, was in jeopardy, but the female that he... that the other female was about to attack. I mean, I've watched the video. Her arm was pulled back and then cranking forward.
It was, and that's when the arm was actually in a forward motion. So had he waited 2 or 3 seconds longer, she would have had a penetrating.
I'm sorry, Michael. He couldn't have waited. We're talking a second. And our moves in a, I mean, he, in my opinion, and this is what gets me so frustrated about the mainstream media, he waited for that arm to start for the shoulder and the arm to start moving forward. He waited till the last tenths of second that he possibly could. And then, I mean, they need to be, the police department needs to say, God bless you for waiting that long, and God bless you, and God bless our training with you, because you put the shot exactly where it needed to be. I mean, it was, if there was ever a scenario for the perfect good shoot, it was even better than someone coming to attack him, right?
Right.
He was protecting a fellow citizen. It was the perfect good shoot, and he still got questioned. I guarantee you there was an investigation done.
Outside investigation, John. We know that's a fact. There was an outside investigation. And remember, you're not hearing any complaints from me in the sense that is standard procedure. Whether it's a justifiable shooting or not, there has to be an outside independent investigation to give the public the trust and assurance that law enforcement is doing their job the appropriate way. That's standard. We accept that. We you know, that's part of the job. But it's interesting in what you're talking about in this situation. Imagine the difference in the scenario had he waited just a second too late. And he still would have fired, but she would have already plunged that knife into the heart and killed that other woman. Then there would have been a riot.
And what would have happened had he... Okay, let's say he didn't shoot at all. It probably would have never have made the national news, but I guarantee you there would have been a lot of people that would have... You're a police officer there. You're supposed to do something about it.
Right.
And had he not done anything at all and just let her die and said... bottom line, police officers have got to be thinking in the back of their mind, I'm just going to let this happen. I'm going to have a lot less blowback if I let someone die and don't answer the call than if I do.
That's the real fear, because that is the trend that we're headed to now. And if we don't get a handle on it, twofold things are going to happen. First of all, there's not going to be any police officers out there on the street to be making these decisions. Second of all, those that still remain, we're making very poor decisions that will not be providing the proper protection to the American public. We can afford neither.
So let's get back to what I originally brought you on. Roseanne Boyland. Now, as you said, so to me, I really don't care that necessarily that it was a black woman on a black officer on a white woman. I care almost not at all, other than the fact of the hypocrisy and my annoyance. Okay, frankly, my anger at the Bidens, at the Biden administration, my anger at the DC police, and my anger at the Capitol Police for not doing anything about it. And trying to hide this, as you said, it was this information was released. It was not meant to be shared. How did it get released? Do you know anything about that?
The family had asked. The family had heard. There were bystanders that say they had saw what had happened. They had made repeated requests. DC police had said it had been investigated internally. They finally released what their finding was. On the releasing of the finding, they had asked for any videos, and they released a video that they didn't realize that it actually showed what it showed when they released it.
Okay, let me ask you this. A police officer comes up on someone who is unconscious, and let's say it's an absolute criminal, maybe a rapist, even a murderer. What are you supposed to do if they're unconscious?
Our first obligation is to render aid. To render aid. And so what should have been happening in this situation is should have immediately been determining...
Okay, now Michael, let me stop you there. Should they have put cuffs on this individual to keep them from being able to move and then render aid?
Unfortunately, no. We do not do that. Let me tell you the reason why. You're not sure what the medical situation is. Putting on those cuffs may inhibit the rendering of aid. You may complicate a medical matter. You're not sure. You have to render aid first. Now, remember, here's the thing that definitely covers them on this. There was more than one officer there. This officer, there's not one officer in this lady. There were multiple officers. So immediately they should have rendered aid. The other officer should have provided cover, if you want to use it that way, in case for some reason they reacted and they were armed or they were a threat. We would have dealt with the threat at that time.
My mother is listening to this show, so I love you, Mommy. I will not say exactly the words that I want to say.
But the words you're thinking are what most of America is thinking tonight.
But I wish I could go to the sergeant at arms, the Capitol Police, and the Washington D.C. mayor, and say, I just say this: you are borderline evil. You are definitely scoundrels. And how dare you not look into this? Because we know that if a few minor details were different, that this would be held up as the worst thing to ever happen in the United States.
Of course. Well, here's what needs to happen, John. I mean, we're looking at it objectively now. Just, you know, politics aside, the fact that you came across an unconscious, whether it's a victim, suspect, is irrelevant, makes a difference. They're on the ground. You have other additional aid. You have other officers with you. The fact that that person was beat in the skull with a rod of some sort, we just at this stage don't know whether it was steel or wood, but either way, it was solid. Okay. Then that person was taken, determined to be dead 45 minutes later. And interesting that the report doesn't say the time of death. The coroner ruled that it was a drug overdose. That's why they closed the case so fast. Now, what was the drug that she was using? Adderall. Adderall is simply for attention deficit disorder. She had been taking that for the majority of her life, okay? So there was no way she was allergic, no way she could have overreacted, no way it could have been a drug dose. What I'd like to know is, did they do a brain scan? Did they do a skull examination? I'd like to see whether she had skull damage or swelling on the brain or anything along those lines. That, in my age, is much more likely to have been the cause of death than what they ruled it. At this stage, it looks like she was murdered.
How many times, through your experience, and I would love for you to reach out to some of your, you know, big city police counterparts. How often have you heard of an Adderall overdose?
Never.
I mean, this would be my first time of hearing of an Adderall overdose that caused death. I mean, I know a number of people that have used Adderall for short periods of time to help them get through college and studying, you know, doing different things to help them keep up at night, right? And to be able to function the rest of the day. But I have never heard of, and I'm sure that there are side effects from that, but I have never heard of someone having an overdose from Adderall. Had it been cocaine, had it been crack, had it been heroin, fentanyl, okay, I might even buy that story. But Adderall, you got to be kidding me.
Well, see, here's the interesting thing, John. Here's what makes it so frustrating. In this particular case, based on the videotape alone, the circumstances that it shows, being struck in the head while you're laying down, you're strong, you're laid out on the floor, no protection, your head is being beaten by a rod, the first immediate thing that any coroner should have done was take an examination of the brain to see if there had been any damage to the skull or any brain swelling. That, now, if that had been done properly, they could have very quickly come back and said, yes, that was our first thought as well. Here's what the study, here's what the x-rays show, here's the pictures, the copies, et cetera, et cetera. While that sounds bad, it did not contribute to the cause of death, and it had been a different story. That has never been done.
All right, so we're probably just about up against a break. When we get back on that, I want to hear some of the other details that you've heard about this. I also want to talk to you a little bit about what you're hearing from police officers, the general feeling of police officers when it comes to the convoys, the Toronto chief police chief saying, I don't know that there is a police solution to this. So let's go more into this, then we'll hit that on the other side of this break.
Consider this. dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of touch. But it wasn't because I didn't know enough. I just knew too much.
Republic Broadcasting Network, this is Talk with John. I am so grateful to be here with you today. And right now, joining me, I have Michael Letts. He is the CEO and founder of InvestUSA. He is out of South Carolina, in God's country. And I am so grateful that he's joining me. Now, InvestUSA is a national nonprofit charitable organization. And they help hundreds of community provide thousands of bulletproof vests for their police forces through education, public relations, sponsorships, and fundraising programs. And he's working on an interesting fundraiser that's going across the nation. And I hope that once more information comes about, I hope I'm one of the first places you could break that story with.
It will All be right? done.
Sure, okay. We'll All right. So, yes, audience, it'll be kind of cool when you hear about it. So you're going to want to go and see. You're going to want to meet him. So let's continue back on what happened with Roseanne Boylan. She was apparently, now there is a video. Now, I haven't seen the video, Michael, so I would love it if you would send it to me, a link to that or something like that, if you can send it to me. So apparently she was struck multiple times by a police officer. It happened to be a female, a black female police officer. So that's maybe one of the reasons why this is not getting any attention. And then she was at the Stop the Steal rally. And so, you know, two strikes against her. She's one of those dirty, rotten, scoundrel conservatives. And even worse, there for a Trump rally, you know, committing sedition and treason. And yeah, just one of the awful human beings. So, you know, she doesn't deserve anything. I hope. Oh, my gosh. I shouldn't have probably even said that in jest. That this woman died, first of all, needlessly. Right. We mentioned that what actual the protocol should have been was is when you see, and we went down this path a lot more, and those that didn't hear it, they can tune in. But you shared, a police officer sees somebody unconscious, they're supposed to render aid. They're not even supposed to put handcuffs on the individual. They're supposed to render aid. That's protocol. And they completely broke protocol. Another thing that they did on breaking protocol is they should have had some type of outside organization to take a look into what happened. Was that done?
It was not done. It's the same thing with Ashley Babbitt. Here's what's troubling about the whole issue. Now you have two deaths that resulted on civilians because during the January the 6th. And the problem being is protocol was not followed on either one. There was not an independent agency that overviewed it. They did not do interviews with the officers. It appears that this could be the largest scandal we've ever seen in D.C. in terms of a cover-up for political motives, using, and why are we involved? Because of the fact they are using law enforcement as political pawns and political scapegoats, and that's absolutely wrong.
Okay, so what are you hearing from your fellow law enforcement people on this one? Not just in your agencies that you work necessarily, like in your own state, but what do you hear from the D.C. guys that you talk to, the New York guys? What are their thoughts on what happened with Ashley Babbitt and with what happened with Roseanne Boylan?
Well, we hear the same thing across the country, not just in D.C., but across the country. It's one thing talking about what Invest does. We provide them, you know, protection, bulletproof vests, active shooter vests, et cetera. But if we can't provide them protection that the public feels they have a trust and confidence in, all of it's for naught. And when you use law enforcement for political purposes to cover up a scandal, to implement or to push a particular agenda, and you're not forthcoming and not transparent, you lose the trust of the American people, and the whole thing goes downhill. That is where we're at in this particular situation. You now have two incidences. They're parallel. They're almost identical in how they were conducted, without independent investigations, without surrendering videotapes, without surrendering transcripts, emails, etc. It looks like they're covering something up, and now they've done it twice, and that is eroding the trust of the American people in our law enforcement agencies across the country.
So my question is this coming across? So the Capitol Police, they don't have a police chief, right? It's the sergeant. Is it the sergeant in the arms that's like the top guy?
The Capitol Police has a sergeant in arms. That is correct.
Okay. So the sergeant in arms for the House, would both of these cases gone across his desk?
No question. Anything that happens on their premise goes across their desk. That is their jurisdiction. You remember that by special congressional order, executive order, the U.S. Capitol Complex is protected by the Capitol Police and the Sergeant at Arms. So they have the jurisdiction. Now, what were the D.C. police doing there? They didn't feel like they had enough personnel. And since the Capitol is inside the city of Washington, they did what we call a mutual aid agreement. They rendered aid, i.e. they provided additional law enforcement for that particular occasion. But what's frightening is how both of these incidences were handled the same way, apparently at a cover-up, because two people are dead.
So one was Ashley Babbitt was killed by a member of the U.S. Capitol Police. Right. Let me be clear here. This woman was killed by apparently the D.C. Metropolitan Police, right? Is it possible that the top police enforcement officers are not seeing this information? Is it possible that the sergeant in arms did not get a report on this?
No, it happened on their premise. They would have been copied on everything. That now you begin to understand why there's a hesitancy for any release of any transcripts or any emails. I'd love to see what those emails and transcripts were in the 24 hours after this incident between agencies back and forth.
Do you think that they communicated?
There's no question. They had to.
Okay.
You have an incident on their jurisdiction, regardless of who caused the incident. It's on their jurisdiction, so they are entitled to know everything that's going on in an area that they have jurisdiction over.
So why? I look at this and I go, my heart is aching for my country. So let's just say that this had been a white male shooting, doing this to a white female out, let's just say in Utah or in South Carolina, where you're from. And had it been a white police officer, male police officer, doing this to a female with Ashley and with Roseanne Boyland, this probably would have been national news. Had they not been conservatives.
Yeah, let me take a little different angle than what you just said, John. Had it not been political, this would have been, it would have been standard protocol. It would have been national news. It would have been standard protocol. They would have done what they're supposed to do. They would have been an outside independent investigative agency. Regardless of what the facts were, they would have been recorded. It would have been turned over to the DA. Then it would have been up to the DA whether to pursue charges or not.
Well, I am so grateful that there is a January 6th committee that is doing hearings and investigation. I'm sure the truth of both of these things are going to come out.
I wish, John, that were the case. Unfortunately, that is a political committee, and it is interested in one thing. It's interested in trying to give the perception that conservatives are bad because they created a mess at the U.S. Capitol on that day, instead of just following the facts. That committee could be a very powerful and very useful committee if they just were transparent and followed the facts. That's all we want to know. These particular incidents, just follow the facts. Subpoena the records. Release them to the public. Good or bad, the public has a right to know. It's very obvious what's happening, John. And what's happening is there was an incident. The Democratic side, the leftist side, social side decided to use that incident for their own political purposes, to betray a particular vendetta, to betray that these people are crazy. The incident occurs. Then they're doing everything they can to make sure that their side of the narrative prevails, and they're burying the truth to make sure that the American people don't know what really happened, and that's just morally reprehensible.
Speaking of morally reprehensible, I think probably the two most morally reprehensible individuals on that committee happen to be Liz Cheney and Adam Kissinger. To me, they're the two most morally reprehensible individuals because supposedly they're Republicans.
Well, it's interesting, if they wanted to show us wrong, that we were speaking our opinion and not the truth, then they would be taking this opportunity to do what we just talked about a minute ago, using their position on the committee to get to the truth of what happened on critical incidences, such as the deaths of two innocent civilians. That's not what they're doing. Their narrative is the same as the leftist socialists and Democrats on that committee. We think that it was a conservative that ran amok, and all the American conservatives were running amok doing the same thing following this particular president, and that's why we can't have conservatism in this country. What a sad shape they're in.
So here is my... what is going on with that January 6th committee? What do you see coming out of it? Is there any positives? And no. What are the negatives?
Here's what I see coming out of that committee. That committee was created, again, and you could tell how it was created. The speaker would never, the first time the speaker wouldn't allow the majority, the minority leader to appoint his own people. That's out of protocol. That always happens. And when the committees are created, the speaker appoints for the majority, minority leader appoints for the minority. Then you know, they wouldn't do that. The speaker appointed their own for the minority, and that's why nobody would serve except for these two. So it's very obvious what was being done. They put together a committee to push a narrative and to bury information they didn't want to come out and to highlight or try to put the focus on information that they do want to come out or they did want to create and make it look like it was there. That's what they've done. But what they've done is they've robbed the American people of the truth.
What I will tell you, I think there is something that's positive that's coming out of this. Anybody who is even close to being somewhat objective, there are a lot of Democrats that I think are starting to go, something smells fishy in Denmark when it comes to that.
I would agree with that.
That committee. And let alone independents. Independents are like, there is no way. I've talked to a couple of people that are for the Libertarian Party, and they're like, January 6th committee goes to show just how corrupt the system is. Now, I'm even going to point the finger back at the Republicans a little bit. I mean, Lindsey Graham and the leader of the Republican, the minority leader, he should be raising Cain every single day about this.
Correct.
Kind of makes me feel like he's a swamp monster for not doing it. That's one man's opinion.
Well, we've got a lot of rhinos on the Capitol Hill, Republicans in name only, that you're exactly right. When
Mitt Romney. Rhinos,
they don't want to come out and defend the truth.
Mitt Romney, Adam Kissinger, and Liz Cheney happen to be right at the top of that list.
Yeah, Mitch McConnell.
Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham. Bad dudes. In my opinion, bad dudes. Okay, let's hit the what are the thoughts of the police when it comes to the truckers? And I want to re-mention this. So, just recently, I believe last week, the Toronto police chief came out and said, I believe it was the police chief said, it's looking this continues much longer, and there is not going to be a police option to resolve this situation.
That's correct.
Are your thoughts on that? And then what are the general thoughts of your average everyday police officer that you speak with on what's going on with the truckers in Canada? And then we'll move to the U.S. here shortly.
Well, here's what's going on. I've got good friends at the Royal Mounties up in Canada, and they were put into a position to where they were given a directive to go cease based on a ordinance, and they had the weight of law, the mayor wanting them to seize fuel, food, etc., from those who were bringing it in to help the truckers. Some of those did participate in seizing that, but what happened that the media is not telling you about the next day is 50% of the Ottawa Police Department said if it ever happened again, they were going to resign. Many of them did resign, and the other 50% said they won't obey those orders anymore. So you're forcing officers to come to grips, and I'm not saying this is a bad thing, to come to grips that we are sworn to uphold the Constitution, sworn to uphold the law. We can no longer be used as political pawns to uphold the whims and the desires of an elitist few. And that's where we're at today, and that's where a majority of law enforcement in Canada, and quite frankly, in the United States, are beginning to realize that they're quickly being put in that position. And here's the negative, John. We're already in a position in law enforcement where we're defunded, not supported, criticized, et cetera, et cetera. You're going to place us in an awkward situation to where the upper elitists tell you to do something we're not going to do, that we understand is unconstitutional. They're just going to quit. Why would you?
So I have an uncle who was a former highway patrolman, mountain of a man. I mean, he was on the brute squad for the Utah Highway Patrol before they had a SWAT team. He picked up a piece of coal. There was a strike back in the 70s by a bunch of miners. The two biggest miners picked up a piece of coal and put it in the middle of the road. And they were going nuts when my uncle showed up. My uncle picked that piece of coal up all by himself and dropped it on one of their bonfires. I mean, that is one story, and let the bus of the striking miners go through. Another scenario, he went to the group of, there was a group of strikers, and they went up on him, and he was the lone guy. And the biggest, baddest, biggest mouth of the strikers said, "Hey, copper, there's all of us here, and there's one of you. What are you going to do to stop us from going after those strikers?" And my uncle pulled out his revolver and pointed it right at him, and right between his eyes, and he said, "You're right. I may die, but you're going first." And they all walked away.
Right.
And my uncle said, you know, he goes, "John, I was taught first and foremost, protect and serve."
And that's what the majority of law enforcement, in fact, all law enforcement has been taught. Now we're being placed in a position, it's more than words. We're going to have to follow through with action.
And that's what I think the vast majority, when I grew up, for the time that I was a kid growing up, wanting to be a cop, I wanted to protect and serve. That is a male drive, and that's in many women to protect is to protect.
Correct.
And I am glad to hear that you are hearing from the Royal Mounted Police that, hey, 50%, we had a number of people resign, but 50% said we will resign. That is the job, I think, of every police officer in general. I think that's the majority of them, what they want to do. Let's move to the United States. I spoke today with a truck driver. I've spoken in the last 2 weeks with several truck drivers here in the United States. And there are groups of people that are looking to form a convoy. Here in Utah, over 200 people met at a Walmart in a suburb of Salt Lake City, Utah, the Salt Lake metro area. Over 200 vehicles met in a Walmart parking lot, and then the convoy got up to be almost 8 miles long.
Doesn't surprise me, John.
There were some truckers involved in it, but there were many citizens.
Right.
Then you have Biden come out and just say a couple days ago to Trudeau, you need to come up with a federal option to stop this. To me, that's saying two things. Trudeau, I'm giving you license to do this because it's happening at a border in Detroit. He's also throwing, I think he is genuflecting, he is giving out what he is going to do and what he wants to do here in the United States. He's trying to throw a wet blanket or a cold water on the scenario, but he's also telegraphing what he is looking to do here in the United States if one of those happen. And I don't know that he can stop it.
No, I'm quite frank with what I'm hearing, John. I think it's already underway. And I think you're going to see a massive truckers convoy here in the United States. I believe that Biden will pull his last card, which is, you remember, we've talked about this on the show 6 months ago, I believe it was, to where the Speaker of the House wanted to create a national police force, not the FBI, not ATF, a national police force that they could control, do their bidding. They will attempt to do that and utilize that to shut down the truckers' convoy because they understand that they cannot rely on city, state, or local law enforcement to be used as political pawns to implement an agenda that is not law, that is not mandated. And because of that, they're going to try to do it the other way. And it's going to backfire on them. I think the American people have had enough.
I wonder if that's one of the reasons why they're trying to start up the Capitol Police departments inside Florida and inside all 50 states. It's kind of funny how they went after, they started to do that in Florida first.
Yeah, and what their rationale was in Florida, I'm not quite sure why they wanted to start there first, but they have made a major inroad in Florida.
And if it happened...
They didn't even make a major inroads by the consent of the governor or the people of Florida. They just put in the appropriations bill to start with a major dollar in Florida opening up offices.
If it was me, if I was a sheriff where they were looking to do that, I'd say, I am putting this, I'm making this statement. A federal officer opens that office. They leave that office to effect any arrest. I will arrest that individual on the spot. And I will see what I can do to take actions all the way up, including to the President of the United States.
I think that's the position we're going to have to take, John. I mean, right now they're taking a position and they're exercising it, not just in law enforcement, but with the IRS and others, that the feds dominate and control our lives. We either capitulate to what they say to do, or they will give us severe penalties for it. And they've taken their authority and they've taken their context way out of the Constitution, and they're trying to make it a dictatorship. And the American people fought that 200 years ago, and they'll do the same today.
I hope it doesn't come to that. So what I'm hoping happens is individuals like myself who are not police officers, who have not been former military people, are willing to interact with our legislated elected officials and let them know how displeased we are. They're willing to call their sheriffs and even talk to their police chiefs and so forth and say, and let the Blue Nine, hey, we support you. We just want the Constitution. And that's what I love so much about where I live. The police officers that I talk to, when I say, hey, what do you think about an individual like me having a firearm? They go, God bless you. Please do. Nothing makes me feel better than that, knowing that they, and in fact, there's been some, I haven't even mentioned it. I've just said, you know, hey, what are your thoughts on the public holding firearms? And they're like, they need to. We want them to. You've said it yourself. Sure. Hey, that's the way to keep America safe. And so I just want to say, Michael, it is a, I am so blessed to be in the situation that I am, that I get to stand in for my audience and ask you these type of questions. Speaking of my audience, I will offer this to them. If they want to call in and interact with you before we come up on the next break, I'll let them. The phone number is 512-248-8252, 512-248-8252. But if they don't, I definitely have enough things that I want to talk to you about and pick your brain on. I probably will let you go if we don't have anybody call shortly. I'll let you go at this next break. But your organization, you take bulletproof vests, you do education and public relations with people and get it on first responders. What is going on down at the border? What are you hearing down there? Because I know you have contacts down there. What are your thoughts?
Here's the negative. The border has capitulated to the will of the organized drug cartels. They're running the show. They are absolutely running the show. Along the border, they have openings all along the border, of course, because of the Biden administration. They have a strategic plan in place. They're taking some small groups across the border, allowing them to be caught so that it ties up the resources, and then they're bringing in thousands while the others are occupied. They're running them through, and here's what's so tragic. I want the American people to understand this. Of course, we don't support illegal immigration. I never have, and I never will. If you want to do something, do it the right way. Do it legally. They're taking these illegal immigrants, though. They're charging them. They're not doing them across for free. They're charging them $4,000 or $5,000 per person to bring across the border. Now, they don't have that kind of money. So what do? They say, okay, great. We're going to take you across. It's an IOU. You're going to run drugs for us. And then the Biden administration is helping that by moving them all across the country. They're taking them to processing centers all across the country under the auspices that they don't have the room here. Of course, Trump solved that. He had a, you know, return to Mexico policy. You went back to, across the river and stayed there until your processing time came up. But now we've spread them all across the country. The drug cartel now has a massive network across the country to move drugs because these people understand the drug cartel is serious. You do what we say, you find yourself with your throat slit laying in the middle of the street. So that's where we're at today.
Mike, we should have a break coming up momentarily. On the other side of the break, I want you to tell us what you think should be done down on the border, what Texans can do and what the general American Americans can do. And Sam, if we've got that break, are we taking it? Okay, so momentarily we're going to have that come up. So on the next side of the break, like I said, I want you to share with us who should take action. We know Biden's not going to. So who's the next line of defense that needs to? Is it me as a Utahn? Do I need to go down to the border? What groups can do that, and how we can most affect change? So on the other side, let's finish with that, and then I'll also have to share how people can contact. Thank you, Michael.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Kosher-tify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher-certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
I remember when I lost my mind.
Republic Broadcasting Network, this is Talk with Sean here on Saturdays from 3 to 5 Mountain, 4 to 6 Central, and 5 to 7 Eastern. You can join me here. Right now I have Michael Letts of Invest USA joining me. And the last thing that I posed to him before the end of the break, what can be done about the border? We know Biden's not going to do anything. We know this Democrat Congress isn't going to do anything. What should stand up and start doing things? Should I, you know, some guy, some John Schmuckatelli from Utah go down there on the border and start standing patrol on my own? Or who are the main people that are responsible to do this? I have an opinion, but I'll let you share yours.
Well, first of all, the only way we're going to secure the border is we're going to have to put a wall. I mean, we've got to finish the wall. And since the federal government refuses to do anything, you know, Governor Abbott's doing the right thing in Texas in terms of having Texas finish theirs. But it won't do any good to just have Texas if the next state over doesn't do theirs. So we need to all be unified and make sure we secure the border with a wall. That's the first aspect. Second aspect is we're going to have a major presence. And that means the National Guard from each state is going to have to be on patrol. And quite frankly, if they don't want to use the National Guard, I think each state needs to create a state guard, which is an all-volunteer force, and there needs to be plenty of people, I'm sure, that would volunteer, take rotating shifts, and we're going to have to secure our border. It's the only way we're going to be able to get it done.
Okay. Michael, how can people get in touch with you and your organization?
Go to our website, investusa.org. That's a charity.org, www.investusa.org, and there's a litter of things they can do because we have to make sure our officers, and that includes what we're talking about securing the border, have the necessary equipment to protect themselves. It's not fair to ask them to go to the border and to be outmanned, outgunned, and outprotected, and to put their lives on the line if we can't show them that we appreciate them enough to care for their safety as well.
Michael, I just want to say thank you for joining me today. I really appreciate you, brother. God bless you. God bless your wife. God bless your organization. And may the Lord continue to be with you, brother.
Same here, John. We appreciate all you're doing for America. God bless you and God bless America.
And God bless Republic Broadcasting Network. That's the end of my show, Music Playing. I love Bittersweet Symphony. It's very relaxing. I need it. Y'all have a fantastic weekend, folks. Take care. Thank you for joining me here on Republic Broadcasting on Talk with John.
Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.